Pat McGinnis is a veteran football coach right now at Memorial High School. He was at Alma Center. He grew up in Superior. We talked to Pat McGinnis about coaching. Pat, what got you into coaching in the first place, Bucko, or who, or what, or how did it happen?
Well, it's kind of, I had a great high school football coach and a fellow by the name of Larry Hoff. He's in the Hall of Fame, for the state coaches here. And Larry had a lot to do with it, and it was kind of one of those things where even in high school, basketball was probably my favorite sport, but all my friends were out for football, so I kind of went out
there. Hockey in Superior?
I didn't skate, to be honest with you. I wasn't that good of an athlete, I guess, but when I went out for football at the high school, Larry was a young guy at that time, and he was just such a great role model, and he was a straight up guy, and just work hard and work ethic was everything, and we had a great role model, like I say, back then, and I went to St. Thomas for my first year in college, and I played football there, and came back to Superior, and I needed to come back. My dad had gotten sick, and so I came back to Superior, and I tried playing football there, and I just wasn't enjoying it as much. It's, I think it's kind of one of those things that I had a great coach there, a great guy, wonderful guy, and Merch Mortarelli. A kinder man there never was. But I just didn't enjoy the playing aspect of it, and I started after practice. I got down there, I go over to the high school in Superior, and I started kind of helping out there a little bit. And geez, I found I really enjoyed that, Jake. I really enjoyed the teaching aspect of it, and I was happy to help Larry, and I enjoyed being around that coaching staff. And I just ended up starting to coach then.
Merch was a helpmate too. That has to be, as far as what you just mentioned, one key word: teaching.
Yeah, yeah. Merch is just a wonderful guy, and I grew up with his son Tommy, and knew the family. My sister was real close, and so I knew Merch forever, and he's just such a wonderful guy. But I just found that the playing wasn't as enjoyable as it had been when I was in high school.
It wasn't too far from Superior College to Superior Senior.
I used to leave my equipment on. I jumped in the car and my beautiful little Volkswagen, and I would fly over to Superior while they were practicing, and I would help out there, and I really enjoyed that, and I found that there was kind of a passion there, and even when I was in college, I continued to coach there. I started coaching there in like 76, and I stayed with Larry there for till about 88, and worked my way from being that was a senior high at that time, and working my way from being an assistant on the sophomore team to the sophomore head coach, and then all the way up to, and when I left there, I was running the offense. I was the offensive coordinator for Larry, and in 88, he retired, and I had finished my degree going back and forth and working, and I left there, then I went to Alma Center,
Now, coaching was really in the... Well, that was your profession right then.
Well, it honestly was, and it kind of hindered me in college, to be honest with you, because I really enjoyed that so much. I put that ahead of getting my education, and it was one thing I had to kind of go back. I had three kids. I went back to, I told my wife, who was a saint, and she worked two jobs, and I played in bands and sang at weddings and did a bunch of other stuff just to kind of make ends meet, and we had three kids at the time, and I had walked away from a good job, and went to school until I was done, and then I decided I was going to be a teacher.
Exactly. You're talking about coaching. You got to be a teacher. What's your field?
Well, I'm a business education teacher, so I teach like computers and accounting, and I teach personal finance and some law, and it's kind of a wide variance there as far as business classes go.
And then from Alma Center, we're talking about Superior, we're talking about Memorial, Eau Claire Memorial, one of the great bastions of high school athletics in the state of Wisconsin. And you've been at Memorial for a few years, kiddo. And you talked about role models. You talked about successful coaches. Your thoughts, Pat McGinnis, on being a coach at Memorial, philosophies and how things have changed in the years that you've been in Old Lake?
Well, things have changed an awful lot, Jake. I think we've all seen that. The liability aspect of it. more parental involvement. Kids are so busy nowadays. I mean, it's not like it was when I was in high school and, you know, when mom was at home, you know, when you got home and the meal was on the table and you swallowed that as quick as you could and you went out with your friends. And, you know, really not that many people were working as much as kids need to work today. And they don't have the time. And at the same time, there wasn't, athletic-wise, I look at kids today and they're so much more athletic than what we were back then. The weights, the training, the personal trainers that are out there now that we never even thought of back then. I think kids really dedicate themselves and work very, very hard to become the best type of athlete they can. Whereas back in our day, geez, if you were a big guy, you didn't lift weights, you were on the offensive or defensive line, and you know, if you could run a little bit, you played in the backfield. And the one thing I'd say is that I think a lot of kids nowadays, they try to specialize a little bit too much, whereas back then it was you kind of played everything. I almost worry a little bit about today where, you know, we've got basketball teams that are traveling all over the state to play people. You know, when I grew up, you played the people in the neighborhood, or you played kids from the north end of town or the south end of town or whatever part of town. You know, they'd find a place to play. We didn't need parents. We didn't need coaches. We just picked up a basketball, and we went and played, and we called our own game, made our own rules. And I just remember getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning and go to a park, and you'd play baseball. You'd get done with that. You'd have a Coke and a bag of chips, and then you went and played football. And then after that, you went and played basketball till, you know, somebody had lights in their backyard, and you played basketball till 9, 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, then you kind of wandered around, and then you eventually went home and started all over the next day.
But you really didn't have a coach for all that, did you?
No. It was fun. You know, I can remember Saturday basketball at the technical college. You just needed somebody's parent to be there, so they'd sit up in the stands and read the newspaper. And, you know, the kids understood. We played basketball with, you know, 10, 11 guys, and everybody knew the pecking order, and everybody got to play. And when it got to crunch time, the best kids were on the floor, and we all enjoyed that. We were all good friends.
Does that relate to how coaches feel today? We see a number of coaches leaving coaching, going into their administration, or
we're just getting old. I think there is so much more pressure now to do more and more things with somebody else's kids. You know, one thing that I enjoy about football is that, you know, I'll open the weight room for anybody. I don't care what sport they play. And I want our football players to get in. But when football season ends for me, there's a lot of work that I do outside of it. But I like my kids to be two or three sport athletes. Get out. I mean, you go through high school once in your life, Jake. You know, all those things go away. The opportunities for most kids are going to go away to play sports, be in the band, do all this stuff. You got to make the most of it when you're in high school, because those chances are just so fleeting. And nowadays, it's a little bit different, you know. I mean, kids want to specialize, you know. They want to do this. They're going to be great basketball players. And I continue to watch it. And I, you know, you can invest so much time in your kid. But at the same time, I don't know if the leadership qualities or the step-up quality of a kid to just go out and the intrinsic motivation to get better is there. When I used to watch basketball when I was a kid, I used to watch Rick Mount. Jeez, I loved Rick Mount from Indiana. I couldn't make it through a half a game. I had to go out and shoot.
Right.
You know, I had to go out and try and emulate what I saw there, try to mimic what I saw there. And, you know, as a kid, you know, your hands would be bleeding and they were all dry, or you'd put a pair of gloves on and you'd be shooting in the middle of winter up in Superior in the, you know, court backyard that you shoveled off but you got better. You know, you got better. I didn't need somebody to tell me how to shoot. I just had to shoot. Now we're all worried about the technique and the this and that. Now, kids just need to learn to play and learn to compete, push themselves, not instead of hiring a trainer for, you know, 3 weeks for $250. I have a difficult time with it. Now, those guys don't do a great job. They do. And maybe there's a need for it, but I'd like to see kids get up in the morning and push themselves a little bit more than their parents, you know, kind of saying, well, you need to do this and you need to do that.
You're at a school, Pat McGinnis, where the athlete is really respected and looked upon. But it is at the one sport level. I mean, if you're a football player, you've had very few kids come through Memorial that are two or three sport athletes. If you get a bunch, you got a bunch.
I would disagree with you, to be honest with you. We got lots of kids that play football and play hockey, play football, play basketball. play football and play basketball. That's kind of been up and down a little bit. But they do play other sports. We got kids now that are doing track more and more. And we do have, I look at a kid like Jefferson Dahl. He's a three-sport athlete for us. You know, he plays baseball, hockey. Yeah. Nate Verbrocken, he's a two-sport athlete. Well, he really played baseball, but didn't play that much. Stuff. We've got lots of kids that do that. But I do think with a larger school like that, you know, we've got about almost 1,800 kids there. You see different kids stepping up. You know, out of 1,700 and some kids, we probably have 600, 700 kids that are playing sports, boys and girls. And, you know, teams get pretty large. I look at a guy like Mark Johnson who does cross country at our place. He has over 100 kids all for cross country. Now, only six of those kids can score. But you know what? Those kids are involved, and Mark keeps them all. He does a great job coaching, and the kids really enjoy the atmosphere and the environment that he creates there. So I think that's tremendous. So maybe they're not scoring athletes, but they're kids who do get involved.
Let me play the devil's advocate here now, because you put me in my place, and I appreciate that. This year's hockey squad was a fantastic. The 2006-07 hockey squad at Memorial was fantastic. Couple of sport athletes in there?
Oh, yeah. You look at a lot of those kids. You know, like I mentioned, Jefferson Dahl, on the second group and the second line that they had go out there, you know, a kid like Nate Verbrocken, and there's a couple of kids that play tennis that are out there. There's a couple of kids that play hockey, some soccer kids. A lot of football kids that are out and doing that, but you know, they did. Those are kids that work really hard in that area, and they're really talented.
And that's not so much the specialization as it is participation.
Yeah, I think that's pretty true. I think that's a real accurate way of saying it. And then there were kids that you probably didn't hear their names as much, but they were involved in other athletic events too. They're, you know, involved, like I say, in football or, you know, cross country. We do have kids that are pretty well-rounded kids.
Here's a 60-cent question, Pat. What gives you the greatest joy of coaching?
You know what? I'm a kind of an underdog guy. I like to see those kids that people don't expect to step up. You know, I like to see those kids really succeed and see something happen. Truly, I feel in the same way in the classroom. Those kids that are in my classes that are pretty smart kids, most of them, I don't want to say they need me like they need a hole in the head, but they're going to make it. I like those kids who are in there, and when I see that light bulb go on and they have success, and they might not be the same kid that always has success. It's really academically oriented or even athletically oriented. I like to see those kids kind of step up, and all of a sudden it's a surprise that through their work and effort, all of a sudden they've made themselves pretty good athletes. But they've had to, you know, work at it, whereas a lot of kids, I shouldn't say a lot of kids, but you've got those kids who are just naturally good. They got God-given talent, and they use that talent. But these other kids that work so hard to get to that point, to me, they're really impressive. I love to see those kids succeed.
In the classroom as well, and then in business, and away you go, because you've had some Abes that are something else.
Yeah, I'll tell you, and a lot of people don't know about, you know, kids. I look at a kid. We had a kid named Kevin Solheim that really... His first year out for football, it was like he couldn't chew bubblegum and walk at the same time, and he went out for wrestling, and he got pinned. But you know, by the time that Kevin was a senior, he'd really worked hard and gotten strong and put the effort in, and he was pretty successful in all the things that he did. And then the son of a gun gets an appointment into the military, and he's over there serving now and has been in the military for probably 8-10 years now. And, you know, he comes back, always comes and visits me, and it's always neat to see him because, you know, here's a kid who would ever thought that, you know, that he was going to be successful. And he takes a great deal of pride in everything he does, but he's learned to work.
You told me once, Pat McGinnis, that you'd quit coaching if you couldn't come to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Summer Conference. Your thoughts on FCA?
Well, FCA is, I continue to say, Jake, that FCA is my best week of the year. You know, Christmas and all these things. My kids have come and gone through this program. My youngest son is here now. All my other kids have gone through it and had such a tremendously great, joyful, wonderful experience while they were here. I think there have been times when, as a coach myself, the stress and the things that can pop up, I needed to be able to come here, and I needed to kind of rejuvenate, you know, my walk with the Lord. And I tell you, it's a very, very important thing to me. And sometimes, you know, life can kind of suck a lot of that out of you. And to come here and be around coaches and kids who not only do they work hard in the athletic aspect of it, in the athletic arena, which they do. You know, the kids are just phenomenal. The direction that they take, the coaching that they accept, and they work their tails off. And then to be able to be around good Christian people like this, that it really makes a big difference. I'll never forget a young man that when I sat with him, and he was from inner city Chicago, saying that he didn't want to leave here. He didn't want to. Why can't life be like this all the time? You know, and I tell you, it's really true. And it's, I wish life could be like this all the time. I wish everybody could understand how good it could be if we all cared as much as people care down here, you know.
McGinnis, always a pleasure talking to you, young man. Carry on and power to you.
Well, thanks, Jake. I appreciate what you do.